The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Culture, Leaders of the New Art World. Meet the Black Women Artists, Curators, and Collectors at the Forefront of the Evolving Art Industry. Ashley James, PhD. In November 2019, Ashley James, PhD, became the Guggenheim's first full-time Black curator in its contemporary art department. I'm not famous. Nobody's checking for me, she says, laughing. I'm sitting in my library, reading my little books, like I don't think about my public profile on a daily basis. James acknowledges, however, that when she initially got to the museum, given the conversation that surrounded her presence as a first, she did think about her role as a cultural representative. But ultimately, it's the day-to-day work and the larger goals of her position that occupy her time. At the core of curatorial work is selection, which by definition means exclusion. She says, who are you putting on and at what time? I think about that in terms of firstness because I try to be honest and deliberate at the same time. The next article is titled, Flow is the Future. The UK-based girl group is ready to take over the world. When you're in a girl group where the style is key, having no nails isn't ideal, especially if you're on set for a digital cover shoot. Hey, babe, can we get through this video? And I promise we will glue all of those nails back on. I say gently to Georgia, one of the three members of Flow. Well, I had my nails on, but they made me take them off for the shoot, she responds, with a pout that a supermodel would envy. On set, all of the group members needed to get custom Flow press-ons. Unfortunately for Georgia, hers kept falling off, so in the interest of time, she took one for the team and removed all her nails to get the shoot done, but she wasn't happy about it. A few weeks before I met Flo at Milk Studios in Los Angeles, I was able to interview the viral stars over Zoom. All three were in London, squeezed together on a couch, and the conversation felt like a few old friends catching up. Renee Downer, 20, and Stella Quaresma, 21, are longtime pals who initially connected in secondary school, high school. Georgia Douglas, 20, made the trio complete when they met her at an audition in 2019. Although this was my first time speaking to the ladies, I had been introduced to their debut single, Cardboard Box, in the summer when it immediately grabbed the attention of Twitter users. I got a confession. I don't think I want you anymore, Stella sings with a soft guitar melody floating in. As the song continues, the three expertly brew up a sultry 90s sound with Gen Z pop lyrics, creating a timeless piece of music. This was how they announced their presence to the world. None of us had Twitter before that, so it was this new app for us, but everyone loves us on it, Renee explains, while Georgia adds, Twitter is so funny. What sparked the online conversation initially was the group's superior vocals, but what soon grabbed equal focus was their buzzy look. Influenced by the resurgence of Y2K and the early aughts, Barbie-like glam is their beauty inspo. Dewy skin, impeccably done hair, every outfit TikTok worthy. We didn't expect it, Stella says of the attention. It was just like, if we were to be known in America, that would be the best thing ever. But we didn't know that would happen. The release of their first single was a testament to their years of artistic development. After the group's formation, Flo spent the pandemic preparing for this moment, rehearsing, recording, and learning the essential skills that every musician must have. To drop a song in 2022, and we've been working on all of that stuff for the past 3 years, this can't go wrong, Stella says with conviction. This will go right, and in these early days of stardom, they are hitting all the key metrics with engaging videos, genuine friendships, superstar vocal talent, and a humble appetite for what's in store for their brilliant future. The next article is titled, Angela Bassett is a Vibe. Champagne and caviar might do it for some, but it's the ability to work consistently in Hollywood for nearly 4 decades that one of the most talented actresses of our time considers a true luxury. Angela Bassett's most prized possession is her art collection. One of her favorite pieces is a painting that was sold to her for $400 by an artist at the Savannah College of Art and Design and has been mistaken for an $8,000 work by Ernest Crishlow. Another is a life-size sculpture of Sojourner Truth by artist Manuelita Brown that sits in the garden of her California home. The statue was a gift from her husband, fellow actor Courtney B. Vance, and their children for her 60th birthday. Her newest piece is a Ferrari Shepherd painting of a black woman reclining on a couch that the artist says was inspired by Bassett herself. He said that, so I'm going to believe him, the actress states. As tough as it might be to imagine, the woman with more than 107 acting credits to her name ever taking a break, the 64-year-old wife and mother, whose working days are long and vacations short, welcomes her demanding schedule. She appreciates being afforded the opportunity to continue practicing her craft 39 years after she earned a Master of Fine Arts degree from the Yale School of Drama. At one point early on, just going to work as an actress consistently for me, that was the soft life, Bassett admits. At the beginning of the year, on New Year's, yay, on my birthday, yay, I'm working, yes. Described by her husband as a country girl from St. Pete's, Bassett was born in New York City and spent a few years in her aunt's care in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, before her mother relocated her and her sister to St. Petersburg, Florida, when she was 4. I'm a Florida girl, but with a New York vibe, says Bassett, who's in the early days of promoting the highly anticipated Black Panther sequel, Black Panther Wakanda Forever. I'm chill, I'm easy, until I'm not. It depends on the moment. I want it done right. I want it fun. I want us together. I want a vibe, energy, then I want to relax. Beach, sun, kindness, generosity, that sort of southern hospitality. I want it all to feel comfortable, relaxed, appreciated. When we get together, I want an experience. My love language is time spent, so come on, let's have a good time together. Some of her best times have been in her birthplace, which she considers her favorite city in the world. It's art of a different kind that colors her explanations. I love theater in New York City, she says. I have literally left Courtney on the street, grabbing the last ticket to a show. He's like, okay, go, baby, go. And I'm like, thank you. Come back in 2.5 hours. He understands me. Theater, it's sacred. It's like church almost. In the way some might derive their life's purpose from words spoken from a pulpit, Bassett got hers from lines performed on stage, specifically those said by James Earl Jones when he played Lenny in the 1974 production of Mice and Men on Broadway. He's my inspiration, Bassett says. I remember being the last one in the theater, crying into my hands because of the performance I had seen. How real he made it for me, he and the others on that stage. I went home and I pursued acting with a vengeance, trying to figure out how do you do that? How do you make people feel the way he made me feel? Whenever I come to New York, I come to see other actors and to have that experience all over again. Bassett did indeed figure out how to make audiences feel those emotions Jones once dredged up inside of her, and she did it very early on in her career, but most notably with her 1993 role as Tina Turner in What's Love Got to Do with It. Of what's considered her breakout performance, Bassett acknowledges the opportunity was one where you're called upon to show up in ways you had not even imagined as an actor, emotionally, physically, humbly, and fiercely. Yet she insists that no one project made her feel as though she had arrived as an actress. There are different roles at different moments that speak to you, she explains. They speak to your journey, your transcendence, your trajectory. One of the earliest of these for Bassett was reciting Langston Hughes' poems on stage at the age of 15. She would continue to perform in plays throughout college and after graduation. When she moved to New York and garnered roles in what she describes as the off-off-Broadway no-pay showcase. They pay your subway token, she clarifies, laughing. During that time, she says, an arrival of sorts was playing Antigone in the Sophocles play by the same name, Richard Schiff, who also appears in Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, was her director. When Bassett moved to L.A. to see if she could make a name for herself there, it was John Singleton who cast her in her first significant role, his own directorial debut, 1991's Boys in the Hood. Bassett reveals she didn't yet believe she had made it, but she did think she was on her way. You have to stay hungry. You have to remain hungry, she says. I was the wife of, the mother of. I wasn't number one on the call sheet, if that's important to you, which it's not to me, because, as we say, you can do a lot with a little and make a great impact. Judi Dench won an Oscar with 12 lines, so we don't have to fool ourselves into believing that you have to be first and foremost. But that was a moment that encouraged me. Bassett soon received an Oscar nod herself for Best performance by an actress in a leading role for her portrayal of Turner at the 66th Academy Awards. But the accolade did not necessarily lead to more acceptance in Hollywood. That's perhaps when I thought, okay, I've made it. But then the phone didn't ring for a year and a half after that, she remembers. But I've made it, I thought. Yes, you've made it, but now there are other things to consider. She says she had to tell herself, you were number one. How do you remain number one? It's not always possible. Interest in our stories ebbs and flows over time, and not always are women like me, darkened by the sun, cast as the lead. So you have to look for other opportunities where you can have a voice and make your mark and say something. That's what's always been most important to Bassett, who now ranks as one of the highest paid actresses of color on television as a result of her lead role on the procedural first responder series 911. Calling the achievement wonderful, she says, it's not something she thinks about in the day-to-day of life. Still, she adds, as Riri said, pay me what you owe me. We all should be compensated fairly, and that was one of my mantras, Bassett recalls, of her early career days when she lived in a rent-controlled apartment in Harlem and took roles where she could. I would say to myself, I want to work. I want to work consistently, and I want to be paid fairly. And that has happened. Fair looks different to Bassett than it might to another Academy Award nominated actress whose work has also garnered a Golden Globe Award, a Screen Actors Guild Award, and 7 Primetime Emmy nominations. Listen, even after What's Love, I've done projects where you're getting paid the minimum, she reveals. The whole thing, they're going to pay you $5,000. I think I did that last year. I've directed where it's like, are they even paying me? I don't know. I'm not checking for it because I'm learning. I'm not always about money. Sometimes it is, and a lot of times I've turned things down because the project's not right, or the situation's not right, or the story's not right. You always want the muse to show up. As they say, all money ain't good money. In her latest role, we'll see Bassett step up as the mother figure to a nation when she reprises the character of Ramonda in Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Tending to her own grief and that of her daughter, Ramonda also has to ease the concerns of her people and ensure their protection from neighboring attacks. It's quite a bit emotionally that Ramonda has to deal with, Bassett says. In the midst of all this loss, she has to find that strength to comfort and lead. In real life, Bassett and the rest of the cast faced a similar emotional plight as they worked to deliver a sophomore effort that would match the expectations set by the overwhelmingly positive response to Black Panther, while still grappling with the sadness of Chadwick Boseman's absence. There are these two things that we were dealing with, the loss of our leader and trying to meet the expectations of an audience. Bassett says she felt nothing but butterflies her first day back on set. The mantle is monumental, but it's so heavy that we can't accomplish what we all gathered together to do. The cast and crew agreed to adopt French hours during filming, which meant working nonstop for 10 straight hours, 5 to 6 days a week. So no one would lose momentum. Instead of breaking for lunch, Bassett explains, you grab a bite when you can and wrap up the action at 7 or 8 in the evening. Director Ryan Pogler recalls how easily Bassett acclimated to this shoot schedule. She was always there on time and right where you needed her to be, he says. She has an incredible positive energy to her and a phenomenal work ethic. Sometimes she would hang out on set in between setups and was always game for anything. She's been doing it at this level for longer than anybody on set, but you wouldn't be able to tell by her demeanor. She's always excited and ready to go, ready to do her stunt work, ready to do the big dialogue scenes, ready to do the easy stuff. She leads by example. As for her take on the experience, Bassett says simply, I would try to make the best of it. Play some music, add a glass of wine to that after we wrapped, and then get some rest for another early pickup. If you have a day off, you go to a museum or the park, or go for a bike ride. Something like that to just relax, to chill. Taking that time for herself isn't always easy for Bassett. Her work ethic is defined by her upbringing, which she describes as working class. I think a part of me, or part of us as Black women, is that we become used to the stress of life, she reflects. It can become so pervasive, so every day, that it's just what it is, with the work and the husband and the family and all of that. That pulls on you. Having a husband who shares her vocation helps tremendously, Bassett admits. They recently celebrated 25 years of marriage. He understands the struggles and frustrations and the process of creating a character, of having to leave home and be away from your family for months or weeks at a time, she says. Yet she appreciates his ability to enjoy the finer things. I think Courtney's into the soft life, she jokes. He's going to the chiropractor and getting foot massages. I'm like, I need to catch up with you. Learn from you. You are doing your self-care, brother. She doesn't say it, but having a partner who champions her career rather than seeing her as a competition is undoubtedly also a key part of their success equation. Vance still remembers the first time he saw the woman he didn't yet know would be his wife perform. She was acting in August Wilson's play, Joe Turner's Come and Gone. She's sitting backstage for 2.5 hours and came on in the last half hour of a 3-hour play and completely changed the direction of the play, he recalls. That's so hard to do, to hold on to all of that energy for the entire show. Reflecting on the entirety of her career, he adds, I don't know anybody else like her. She's once in a generation, once in a lifetime. I always tell her that the world is waiting for her Oscar so that we can lift her up 30 years past when we should have. Until that day comes, Bassett remains fulfilled by the work she does and the passion it still fuels inside of her. I'm proud of a career that is consistent and ongoing, she says. You know that feeling when you first fall in love? I'm proud that I still have that way about what I do, about my art and my artistry, and that it's appreciated. The next article is titled, A Main Character Christmas, A Main Character Christmas, our Black-focused holiday gift guide, will satisfy all the colorful folks you call family. In one room, you've got your aunt who keeps asking when you're going to bring home a husband. In another, all of the Gen Z relatives are trying to teach the millennials their favorite TikTok moves. Does this sound like a scene you'll discover when you're home for the holidays? If so, we know it can be tough finding gifts that are useful and affordable and actually match the main character energy all your loved ones are giving. To assist you, here's our annual holiday roundup, including present ideas for every type of personality in the family culture. TikTok obsessed niece. Even if she hardly ever looks up from her phone, you can ensure that she stays up to date on the latest trends in beauty and more. 1. The editorial nail, I Meant Nail Set. 2. OE The People Hydrating Body Gloss. 3. Remedy by Ari, Signature Pilates. 4. Oma, The Label Oya Waist Chain. Number 5, Remedy by Ari, Lip Remedy, Scrub and Mask, and Lip Gloss. 6, Seek, VR Headset. Number 7, Freedom at the Mat, Freedom Art Wellness and Yoga Mat. 8, Flyest Tea Company, Cream. Friends who catches flights, not feelings. From travel needs to a couple of wants, those goods will have your frequent flyer excited for the next trip. 1. Kin Apparel, Baby Mama Blue Thick Pullover. 2. Bread Beauty Supply, Mini Everyday Hair Gloss Oil. 3. Black Girl Sunscreen, Black Girl Sunscreen SPF 30. 4. Cincha Travel Belt in Royal. Cousin with a new business every holiday. Enterprising idea number 7, but who's counting, right? 1. Inside Then Out Better Everyday Journal. 2. Black Holiday Trivia Game. 3. Wix Nola Candle and Room Spray Gift Set. 4. Nicole Marie Papery Not Today Karen Pin Back Button. Rich Auntie, there's nothing you can buy her that she can't buy for herself, but you can still give her something luxuriously that suits her refined taste. 1. A tote sold at Dior Boutiques. 2. Brother Villiers Midnight Palms Pump. 3. Pat McGrath Labs Eyeshadow. 4. Navinia Herbal Vine. 5. Zen in a Jar Rich Auntie Body Butter. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.